Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, David Clark, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time, and today we're going to be discussing the spirituality of animals, so please feel free to participate or just listen. And I'm thrilled that we have Bhavana Chawla back with us today. She will be our first caller of the day. But in the meantime, Kat and I will prattle a little bit about the subject, and we're going to take slightly different perspectives, although Kat might choose to contribute from, we just have another caller. Al's on the line. Anyhow, we'll take it however it goes, and we're thrilled to have callers, as always. Just remember, for those of you who are listening to the podcast, that we do have a Facebook fan page called The Healing Circle with David Clark and Kat Edwards, and I'm going to ask Kat to describe the page to you. And wait a minute. Kat, sorry, I lost you for a moment. I'll get you right back. You popped into pause. Go ahead, Kat. Would you like to say something about the Facebook page?
Yes. So please, please like our Facebook page, The Healing Circle with David Clark and Kat Edwards. And if you would like to contribute to today's show and you don't want to call in, you can write your comments down in the thread below the advertisement for the show. So you'll see our static message, and then under that there'll be our today's topic. So jump on The Healing Circle with David Clark and Kat Edwards. Scroll down and you'll see today's topic asking about, is spirituality exclusive to humans or do animals have a soul? That's the one we're after today. And if you would like to contribute but you don't want to call in, jump on the page, scroll down and put your comments and we'll read them on the air.
Beautiful. Thanks, Kat. And Kat, before I forget, I have a little piece of housekeeping to discuss with you at a later point in time. If you can tie a string around your finger and ask me what it is, if I forget to mention it to you, I'd like to do that. So that's unrelated to the show today, however it is related to the show. And I spaced out when you were describing the Facebook fan page, but folks, if you have a topic to suggest, please do so. We really welcomed topics that are near and dear to you. So let us know. And Kat, do you want to start off talking or should I?
Let's have your thoughts, David, because I think you were going to come from more of a personal perspective with how you've experienced spirituality from animals. Is that right?
Yes. What I'd like to say up front is that I believe animals are naturally more spiritual than human beings in the realm of consciousness. Not to say that human beings can't be on the same page, but animals are just naturally present, aware, they're in the moment, and they extend unconditional love unless they're going to gobble you up. Some animals tend to do that, but that's part of the food chain, and that's another story. My experience with animals primarily has to do with pets, cats and dogs, and I have owned perhaps 20 over the course of my lifetime, so I have a lot of experience with them. And I'm so grateful for all the lives that I've had. And they really have been like children to me. I don't have children of my own, But, you know, dogs especially are like little children. They require so much care and attention. And cats like it too, but they're more independent. However, both of those types of pets, to me, extend unconditional love. And to me, that is the core of spirituality. I believe it's all about love and forgiveness. And one thing I'll say about animals is they're very forgiving, unlike a lot of humans. And so it's wonderful. I have accidentally run into a pet or something, and once I closed the cat's tail on the door, and of course I felt horrible, and it was not pleasant for the pet, but they immediately turned around after they got past their fear and whatever emotions they might have been experiencing, and extended love to me. So I felt forgiven in the moment. It's been, because they have such short lives relative to ours, it's been a painful experience to go through the loss of many pets. And I believe in reincarnation, and I've had some pets come back to me. In fact, I have two right now that have been with me previously. I have a cat named Tiger, who is an orange tabby cat, and he's the reincarnation of a cat I had named Sandy, who was my first adult cat, or first cat when I was an adult. And briefly, the story about Sandy is that my ex-wife, then my girlfriend or fiance, I don't remember which she was at the time, but she found this kitten on the campus of the University of New Hampshire, where we both had attended and graduated from, and she thought it would make a nice pet for me. Well, at that point in time, I had a job that was very demanding, and I wasn't home very much, and I didn't think that it was an appropriate time for me to have a pet, and I told her I didn't want it. Well, guess what? I bonded with that cat like I never have with an animal at that point in time, and he would literally jump into my arms. And Al, who's on the line, also enjoyed Sandy for a number of years after we came together. And Tiger is Sandy come back to me. And I also have another cat named Samantha, who is the reincarnation of a kitty cat named Princess, who was the second cat I adopted as an adult. And aside from the fact that I think almost all of my animals are rescues, Princess was in a little basket in a grocery store that these little children, oh my God, there goes my phone, excuse me. Princess, I'm going to turn that off. There were some children that had pets, kittens in a basket on Easter of 1979, and I wanted one of the kittens, and so I adopted this little kitten named Princess, excuse me. And Samantha is just like her. She's just, in fact, here she comes. I just heard her purr. Come here, Samantha. You want to say hi to people? She's so sweet. And then I've got a cat named Tippy Toes. He's black with white toes. And he is a jealous kitty, and anytime I try to pet somebody else, he comes up, and I don't appreciate that. Tippy Toes, you are a needy cat, and I will give you attention when you come to me on your own. So Princess, unfortunately, was hit by a car, and in those days, I let my cats stay outside, and I don't anymore. I know they love to be outside, but they live longer lives when they're inside. And when they're used to it, then they don't seem to know what they're missing and seem to be content. But if they're used to being outdoor kitties, then that's what they want. And, that's generally what I've given them in the past. So those are my cat stories. I also have a dog that is a reincarnation of my childhood dog named Sheba, and that dog's name is Shadow, and I'm not going to go into the story there because I've taken enough time, but I'll talk a little bit more later. I'm going to turn it over to Kat to see what she'd like to say, and then we'll come to Bhavana and Al.
Yeah, it's lovely to hear you had so many of your animals come back to you. And, you know, I've had the same thing happen with my recent loss of Prometheus, my big, fat, lovely ginger Tom. He was the reincarnation of Aphrodite, who was the gorgeous cat, and she too had been run over. And I heard her, and so did my son, and we couldn't see her, and I was in denial. I'd spoken to the animal shelter, and they said a cat exactly like her on the road near my house had been run over. And I was in denial. And I went to spiritual church on the Sunday, and the truth hit my heart.
Oh.
So I could not deny it. And that night when I went to bed, she did what she always does, which was to jump through my window, but she did it in spirit. She jumped onto my bed. And I said to her, come back as a big, fat, lazy male cat, please, so you don't roam. Because she'd roamed and got hit. And then literally a couple of months later, here's this kitten. So, and he had the same meow, and he knew the house. And I had an unusual layout of that house, and he knew it. He knew the rules. I had rules for the cats around the laundry, and he knew them. Yeah, so it was definitely a reincarnation experience. But animals are quite interesting, and if you take them from a sort of more of a shamanistic perspective, you're looking at the passage of the growth of the soul and going through the different bodies and evolving through the plants and into the animals and then into the human bodies. And so the soul then can jump back and forth as it will. And we know that the shamans, the people of the earth who are deeply connected to spirit, will often talk about a spirit animal. And what they're talking about, in my understanding, is an animal that is connected in with you, in with your soul, even if it's briefly, or it is actually our great Mother Earth speaking to you through her child, her animal. So I can give you an example. I was, I think I was about 20, and I was not a professional reader at the time, and I was a medical student. I was studying a coalition of homeopathy and allopathy, and I was sitting in my unit, my flat, Americans would call an apartment, and I was there with my brother, and I was giving him a tarot card reading, and I was facing the sliding glass door in the balcony, and it was the middle of the day, and an owl turned up and sat on the fence outside my balcony. Owls should be asleep in the middle of the day. And I sort of went, oh, there's an owl, and kept focusing on what I was doing. And unethical at the time, I know, but I was a novice and didn't realize. I was actually predicting the death of somebody that Callum, my brother, was working with. And it was not going to be a surprise. I also saw a few other things for him. And so I was going into depth with that. And as I was talking, this owl flew into the unit, locked eyes with me, so much so that it hit the wall, knocked itself out, got up, and flew back out and sat on the fence and just kept staring at me until well after the reading was done. I'll never forget it. And I have thought about what that meaning is. Why did the owl do that? And I think that it had to do with the fact that part of my path has to be a professional reader and linking in with spirit in that way and learning to be a spiritual teacher. So that's a really profound thing. But also, I went and lived in the outback for quite some time. And when things would get tough, we would hear dingoes howl. So dingoes are the native dog to Australia. And they're very, very solitary. And you don't hear them too often in the wild. They're there and you don't know it. It's like a fox. They're there and you don't know it. But I would hear them howl, and then everything would start to get better. When I moved back into the city, remembering back then, I did have also some pretty profound experiences with birds and with owls while I was living in the desert as well. But when I moved back into the city, it was crows that would speak to me. And at one particular time, I had applied to rent a house, and I was really sweating on the application. And I went to a supermarket to buy some groceries. And when I came up to the car, this crow was singing a song in a crow-like fashion. And I immediately took notice because I feel connected to the animals, and I often feel like I like animals more than humans. So I was interested. I was like, yeah, this is cool, you know, you're singing this groovy song, crow. And it started hopping around the car park and getting closer to me, and it was obvious the crow was singing to me. And I was like, holy moly, are you telling me I'll get the house? Are you telling me to calm down, to feel okay? And I went within, and that my heart connected with the song of the crow, and that was the message. And then somebody scared the crow away, you know, just another person not connected with crows. So I started to really notice crows more and more. And I would notice that if I saw a crow eat, good fortune would befall upon me. And it was guaranteed. I had to move into a circumstance in 2016, which I found very difficult, and I had a number of things going on around me at that time, which was a great dark night of the soul, and including the living circumstances, the whole lot was a big challenge for me, and I would have anxiety attacks and things like that. My mother-in-law found a dead crow underneath my car. And she put it in the bin. And I went, holy crap, that's an omen. Oh. You know, I was really
stressed by
that one. Oh, my God. Because there's a lot of big crow population around where I was living. But there's other stories that I have with animals. Some a little bit too personal for me to want to share on the air. But
yeah.
I'd love to hear from one of our callers who's very spiritual as well and what she has to say.
Sure. Let's go to Bhavana, and then we'll go to Al. And I've got a couple of wild animal stories to tell at a later point in time, if time allows. Bhavana, I'm coming to you, and you are live, my dear.
Aloha, namaste, everybody. I'm tuning in from Kauai Island. Yeah, and there's a lot of wildlife here, many songbirds and feral cats, even pigs, but they tend to hide. And I've had, you know, many experiences with animals over the years. I feel like if we listen and observe and open our heart that we can really connect with them. And I don't even know where to start because I don't want to talk for hours. I feel like we could on this topic, but I will say an interesting story of being sort of initiated on the island with a lot more nature than where I came from, the Bay Area, California, is one of my early days, I was just sitting at a picnic bench behind a health food store eating, and this little chicken walked near me. There's many wild chickens here. This was a female chicken and had beautiful feathers and was quite near me. And she told me with her thoughts, I'm not attached to this plane here only, this physical plane. I live above this plane, meaning in spirit, in the other dimension also. I'm really not attached at all. And I said, well, thank you for the beautiful message that she was teaching me something. And, you know, literally a minute later, the dog who the people who manage the health food store, you know, keep outside to, you know, chase the chickens away, came in and grabbed her. And then she got away, but then he kept going after her and he got her and she was a goner. And I thankfully didn't see it because he went under the building, and some of these buildings in Kauai are raised a little bit higher, you know, for various reasons of structure. But I did feel sad for a minute, and I told the dog that wasn't very nice. But the thing is, she told me she wasn't attached to this plane, and it helped me understand, you know, death and crossing over easier. And I bet she effortlessly left her body, which is what humans have trouble with. And I remember working with this cat, communicating with this cat. I sometimes do pet communication, and the first thing the cat said was, I don't like loud music, loud TV either. I said, okay. And so I asked the cat's person was, I'm seeing that, I knew that she had a partner that left a couple of years ago, her male partner. They got separated or divorced. And I said, the cat's telling me it doesn't like loud TV. If you play loud TV, it doesn't like it. And she said, well, he did. So the cat still remembered that easily and told me that first thing. And pretty typical of cats with their likes and dislikes. And then he also said, well, where did that man go? I'm sad. I missed the man, you know. And I said, I explained to him with my thoughts and my and feelings, because they understand images and feelings, not human language, obviously, that how they had a separation and he went to Mexico and he was far away, though. And I asked the cat, can you move on? Can you let go of your grief and have other things that bring you joy and people and whatnot? And the cat said, oh, yes, sure. I said, could you give it a try? He said, oh, yeah, sure, I will. That easy. It was so easy for him to let go. Working with humans, I mean, I can have the same clients working on things for years, me as well. I'm the same. And it's just so beautiful how animals are just, they so easily are willing to go back to that state of unconditional pure love and sort of non-attachment. So that's what I wanted to share. And I won't share any personal stories, but I will say the cats I've had over the years who've crossed over, like Kat mentioned, like she felt her cat through spirit come through the window again. They've definitely, very soon after they've passed on, let me know, I'm still on the bed or I'm still eating with you. I had one cat like to eat when I ate, and it really helps me let go of the grief of losing them, which they are like children. So now I'm that's all I'll say on that topic, but I think it's amazing how they easily come back, you know, as spirits. When they do pass on, to let us know they're still around.
Thank you, Bhavana.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. I, you know, I've experienced seeing animals, deceased animals, out of the corner of my eye, which is very comforting to me to know that they're still around me. And it's beautiful because I do believe in that we're eternal spirits, and that animals, like human beings and all of creation, are eternal. And that's a comforting thought to me. But it is so difficult to go through the death of a pet. It is like losing I imagine it's similar to losing a child. To me, it is like losing a child. So thank you again. And just to let folks know, we do have another caller. I'm very gratified that area code 917 has called in. And if you would like to share a story or thoughts on the subject, we'll come to you at a later point in the show. Right now we're going to go to Al. And Bhavana, feel free to continue to listen. Okay, I'm coming to you, Al. Let's see what you have to say. Okay, Al,
hello,
there you are.
Hi, David and Kat. I don't have a lot to say, but some of the stories reminded me of some experiences. Kat, your talk about a crow, there was a period of time when there was a large contingent of crows that were roosting in the trees in my backyard. And it was also during the time of that avian virus that was infecting birds. And I had come out on the back deck, and there was a crow he was obviously really, really sick. And he was just lying on my deck looking up at me. And he just maintained his gaze with me. And it just felt like something very personal was happening in that moment with that crow. And, he just... he passed away in front of me. Felt very sad. And I also, there had been a lot of warnings at the time not to handle birds that were sick. And I can't remember the name of, I can't remember what that was called. There was a name for that avian flu or whatever it was that was going around. I called the health department to find out what to do, and they told me that, to wear gloves, not to handle them with my bare hands, and to just dispose of them, which I did. But it felt, it just felt sad to me at the time. It'd been alive and making some kind of communication with me at that time. Having him pass like that, it was odd. The other experience I had was with a cat that David and I actually had named Bandit. We had been at a friend's house, and we had come out to leave, and I'd left the driver's door open because we were chatting around the car. And we got back in the car to go home, and I'm driving along, and all of a sudden, I feel this animal in my lap, and I look down, and it's this cat. He was all matted. He obviously wasn't being cared for, and I was just amazed. I mean, he crawled in our car. it's like he chose it, and to have a, cats aren't terribly, cats are. Sometimes they don't approach you right away, So to have him get in my lap like that, a complete stranger, and be so at ease and comfortable, it's like he knew that he was going to be taken care of. That it did feel like he made a choice to adopt us. I felt like we'd been adopted rather than adopted him. So it was really nice. And the last animal I had was another cat named Marie, and she was a new experience for me because she followed me around. She was more kind of dog-like. She was a Siamese cat. And, I was really happy to have her for the time I had her. That's really all I have to say. And thank you for all you both had to share.
Thank you, Al. You and Bhavana shared some things that jogged my memory. And when you were talking about pets choosing us or adopting us, it brought me back to Samantha again. Samantha and three other kittens were born in the wild, and they were starting to go feral. And my current husband and I, at the time we had just come together, we were out at the family camp, and this very, very friendly female cat approached us. and essentially led us to her kittens. And we lured them out with tuna fish, and Samantha was the last one to come out. She was very resistant, but Robbie adopted her, and I adopted one of the other cats, one of the other kittens named Abigail, Abigail Adams. And what happened was that we thought we were choosing pets. Well, guess what? Samantha chose me instead of Robbie, and Abigail chose Robbie. So that's an instance of animals choosing their owners. And I was thinking when you were talking about Marie, Al, how my childhood kitty cat would follow me around the block like a dog. And she didn't run off. I'd go for a walk around the block. She'd follow me the whole way and was very devoted. And it was very sad when she passed. And it has been that way for me with the loss of all of them. But it's comforting to know that they're always with us, even if it's just at a memory level, if we don't believe in eternal life. I just wanted to share one other story briefly, and that's around wild animals. I've had three experiences with quote-unquote wild animals, undomesticated animals. Just today, I was going to a friend's house, and I got out of the car, and there was a bunny rabbit. Here comes Samantha. Come on, sweetheart. Oh, there's Tippy Toes trying to get in on the action again. The bunny was so tame, I was able to get within about 3 feet of it, and it didn't move, you know, and rabbits are rather timid. And I had another experience with a squirrel, and I was sitting in a chair, and the squirrel approached me, and, you know, some people might think, oh, God, you know, that's just the animal's rabbit. It wasn't. It approached me, and it hopped on my lap. And I didn't pet it, but I just enjoyed the trust that animal placed in me. And it just stayed for a moment, and then I hopped down. And then I've had an experience with a deer, and I'm not going to go on and on about things. But animals are so special, and each one is unique. Even as they have reincarnated, there are some different personalities in a sense, but Samantha, who's sitting right by me now, sounds and acts just like Princess, and she's an absolute delight, one of the most loving cats I've ever had. So let me go to area code 917, and please don't be shy. If you'd like to say something, even if it's just your name, that's fine, but I'd like to give you an opportunity to share if you'd like. Hi, hey. You're live. What's your first name?
Hey, David, it's Bryn. Bryn
hey,
calling.
Hey, Bryn, how are you?
Hi. Okay. Yeah, I noticed you had the show on today because I think I was the one that mentioned the spirituality of animals, so I thought
you
I'd better
did.
Be on it. I better be
you
on
did.
It.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good for you. I
better
contribute here. So, yeah, I have like, I think two or three or at least two interesting stories, short ones, but interesting. To begin with, animals are just so special and they have a deep place in my heart. And so I used to work with these Mayan shamans. There used to be a annual gathering of the shamans up in upstate New York, and I was an apprentice or a helper amongst other helpers. And one day I was helping these Mayan shamans, do some ceremonies. And we're out in like upstate New York, beautiful upstate New York. And all of a sudden I saw this beautiful praying mantis on a leaf. And the female shamans, her name was Mercedes. So I said, "Oh, look, Mercedes, look at this beautiful praying mantis." And she looked at it and she put her, palms in a prayer prayer pose palm, you know, like prayer mudra, I guess, and she bowed to it, and she said to me, us Mayans believe that the animal kingdom are spiritual teachers, because they've never left the path that God gave them, but us humans have left our paths quite often throughout history, and the animal kingdom has never left the path that God has given them. So they teach us how to be the right way, you know, how to be human. And, you know, when I think about that phrase, I love hearing that. It was such a great perspective and way of honoring the animal kingdom and the knowing that, you know, yeah, they are teachers, because if you observe animals in the wild or domestic, they are just so themselves. They have no pretense. They act on their impulses. They know how to completely relax. They know how to completely go after something when they need to feed or be fed. And there's no bullshit. Yeah, pardon my French. But it's like they teach us, I think, us humans, how to be real, you know, because animals are real. They're real. They're devoted to being themselves and to being real. So that's one thing. The other thing is I know this person who runs this national nonprofit called Companion Animal Protection Society, and it's a nonprofit agency that does investigations into the abusive puppy mill industries that are around. And she was the owner of like four dogs and two cats. And I used to take care of them. And there was an amazing cat there. She had, there's a beautiful orange cat named Jack the cat, but he was more than a cat. He had a special soul in him, because without question, people would come up to Deborah and say, you know, there's something about this cat. I don't know what it is, but, you know, this cat is special. He gives off something. He gave off a kind of spiritual energy of fearlessness and just presence. He had a presence about him, like a charisma. And one time I had dinner with Deborah at her place, and we made some, you know, really good like homemade pizza, and I was washing dishes and my back was to everything, and all of a sudden I felt this presence behind my back, like it was just like touching me, like an energy. And I looked with Jack, I looked around, and there was Jack sitting upright on a bar stool looking at me. And I could feel his energy field. He was like incredible. Like his aura was like 6 or 7 feet out from his body. And without question, people would like say this about him. Now, when he died, I tuned into him. And I wanted to know how he was doing. So I tuned into him, and his soul was so big. I don't know where it was from, but it was so special that it like filled my heart up. It filled my solar plexus up. I could feel the immensity of his soul. So there was some being inside that cat body that was so special that was, I want to say, like a higher being, you know, because I think that happens with horses and many animals. They have higher being souls in them, and elephants and all that. They all have these teachings for us, you know, about loyalty and community and presence. So anyway, those are the stories I wanted to share. I hope that was helpful, you know.
Oh, it was wonderful. Thank you, Brent.
Yeah. Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, I mean, I just agree with that shaman that I used to know, Mercedes, that they are our spiritual teachers. And it makes sense that, you know, if you look at human history, us humans have gone way off the path in many parts of history, way off the, into the evil path of different things out of our spirit. But the animal kingdom has been true to themselves, true to their purpose that the Creator gave them, you know, and I feel that's what you meant, you know, and I agree with her, you know. So anyway, that's all I have to say.
Wow, I couldn't say it any better. Thank you, Brent.
Yeah,
we're
you're
also
welcome.
Blessed. Oh, thank you. And by the way, Bryn is a reader also. He's a spiritual psychic, and he's been a caller on my show for several years now. And when I found out what his gifts were, I invited him to be on my show. And you can check out the podcast that he did on June 18th by going to blogtalkradio.com/author David Clark, spelled with an E. And he's also going to be on September 25th.
Right.
And we're going to talk about allowing versus resisting, and he'll do readings on that show too.
Sure.
So, you know, there'll be little snippets, but with all of the readers that I have on my show, they're done gratis, they're done for free. And so I ask people to support them if they'd like a full-length reading to engage them and value them for their time by paying them the nominal fees that all of the people I have on my show charge. And Kat, my co-host, is also a clairvoyant medium, and I don't know if she's doing much work along those lines these days because she is a spiritual life coach and has a rather consuming job along those lines. But you can find her on Facebook. It's Kat with a C, Edwards. So we are blessed to have one more caller. I don't recognize the number. They're from area code 201, whoever it is. And if you'd like to share your name and a story or a comment, if you feel so inclined, I'm just going to come to you briefly, and please don't be shy. This is David. Who is this, please?
Hi, David. Hi.
Hi. Hi, I recognize your voice.
You do?
Oh, it's wonderful to hear from you. How are you?
I'm okay. I actually just logged on, and I do have a question because from what I see in the show description, you were talking about the spirituality of animals.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. I have two dogs in my home right now and a cat. And one dog I know is my miracle dog. She really helped me get through a very rough patch. And now she's staying with my son downstairs. But my other son just recently got another dog, and he has two different color eyes. And I just feel like this is a special dog, but I can't put my finger on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of his eyes is brown and one of them is blue. We just recently got him like in the last 2 weeks. I'm not even sure if he could see through that eye. But he's the cutest little dog.
What kind of dog is he?
He's supposed to be a Curacao.
Oh.
I'm not really familiar with the breed.
I'm not either, but I've heard the name. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I just want to see what you pick up with his energy. He seems to have taken to me. He hasn't been trained yet. I don't know if he's just still kind of nervous. You know, he's trying to feel his way out. He got away from me one afternoon, and I thought it was going to be hell in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back, and I called out his name. I didn't see him, and then 5 minutes later, he came running up the driveway. I was so relieved.
Wonderful. Well, I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to ask Bhavana if she is willing to share anything along those lines, because she did share that she has some experience with animal communication. And Bhavana, don't feel imposed upon it if you don't want to do it. I'm coming to you now. Hi, Bhavana.
Hi.
Hi, Bhavana. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm great.
I apologize. I missed a little bit of your story because I was fading out a little bit because I slept a little late last night. It's earlier here in the day in Hawaii. So
okay.
What's your, do you have a question or?
Yeah, I have two dogs and one cat, right? My son, in both cases, my son brought these dogs to us. He finally brought a dog to me 2 weeks ago. Or 2 to 3 weeks ago. And the dog has one brown eye and one blue eye. He's the cutest little dog. I'm pretty certain when his hair grows in, you probably won't even tell the difference. But I'm not sure if the dog can see in that blue eye or if he's just that special type of dog because he seems to be very smart. Only problem I have with him is that like we're in the process of trying to train him. At least I'm trying to train him.
What's
so
his
what
name?
Is your question? Oh, sorry.
His name
Go
is,
ahead.
His name is Legend.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, as David said, what's your question?
I don't know if he's blind in that blue eye. He hasn't been to the vet yet. Is he a special dog? He just seemed to be incredibly smart for his age.
I'm just tuning into him. Legend. And what color is he?
He's all white. His hair is coming in now, so I'm seeing like little streaks of brown. He's a really cute dog.
Oh, well, he's not showing me that right away, but he's very vocal. He has a lot to say in general. I think he's quite a personality. And sometimes with the health and the question you asked, it takes a little bit longer than, you know, a short time on a radio show, and you're welcome to mm-hmm. contact me if you want to, you know, afterward for
okay.
a reading. Because when I communicate with the animals, you know, I get quiet with them, and it takes a half an hour to an hour to do a longer reading. But I, you know, get in sync with them, you know, for a few maybe 5 or 10 minutes. I'm in a meditation with them. And
mm-hmm.
As I go along through the reading with them, then they show me different things. So all he's saying right now is he's really excited about his new life.
Okay.
He really likes you a lot. And I don't know if you wear a specific scent, like a lotion or a shampoo, but he's telling me there's a scent to you that he likes. Like when he smells it, he knows it's you, and he feels comforted. And I feel like he's
okay.
a very active dog. Like he doesn't like to sit still, and he's very curious.
Right, because I want to take him out and walk him. He's my son's
mm-hmm.
dog. I want to take him out and walk him. And when we go for a walk, he's fine with me. But I noticed that when we pass one store in particular, he gets very nervous. I've been taking him on longer walks just to like get acquainted with him, and he just seems like it's something in this dog that tells me he's been here before, and I hope that he's a protective dog for my son, you know, because my previous dog.
I understand that word very faint. You're talking.
I
have my
volume
up.
I just know that he's a protective dog for my son.
Protective, yes. I feel like when he passes by that store, there's a smell that he doesn't like. It's an instinctual feeling. When animals have, you know, a disability, I'm just speaking in general. Like if
mm-hmm.
they are blind in an eye, or I had a cat who lost most of her tail because the cat bit it and it got really infected and we just couldn't save it. They don't really mind. that's maybe why he's not telling me that right away too, because again, it's not like humans. Like, they're like, whatever, my body, you know, unless it's something that really impairs them. They're really interesting like that. So, but I think he's going to turn out to be a great, fun dog. And he's very excited about his new life.
Okay.
Would you like a reading with Bhavana? Because I can give you her contact information if you'd like it.
Yeah, give me her contact information. I spoke to Bhavana before.
Sure. Yeah, Bhavana, can I give out your phone number, Bhavana, on the air?
Sure.
Do you have a pen and piece of paper handy?
Yes.
It's 808-855-0288. Do you have that?
0288?
Yes.
Pacific Standard Time, right?
Hawaii Standard
Time. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry for interrupting. Go ahead.
Are you on the East Coast, 201?
Yes.
Oh, 6 hours behind in the summer. In the winter, 5 hours behind. I mean, yeah, in the winter, 5 hours behind, because we don't change the clocks, because island time. So 6 hours behind right now at this time till October.
Okay.
Bhavana is a wonderfully spiritual woman who has many gifts, and I encourage you to contact her. And thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. You're welcome. Well, thanks to Bhavana, anyhow.
Thank you.
Excuse me. Okay.
I know my other dog is spiritual, but this dog is something about this dog. I'm not sure what it is. I think he's
sounds like a very special dog, and I love the name Legend. That's wonderful.
Thank you for picking me up.
Sure, no problem. And feel free to call in. And also, you didn't hear, we have a Facebook fan page. If you ever have a suggestion for a topic, we'd love to get it from you. And you can go to the Healing Circle with David Clark, spelled with an E, and Kat Edwards. The Healing Circle with David Clark and Kat Edwards, and suggest a topic, and we'll put it on the air.
Okay. Thank you, David.
Okay, thank you. You take good care, hon.
You too.
Thank you. So, Kat. We're getting toward the end of the hour. Is there anything else you'd like to share? And Kat is going to, we take turns doing meditations, and Kat's going to grace us with one today. We don't need to go to meditation. Well, yes, we do need to go to meditation. We've got 7 minutes or less left, so I'll turn it over to you, Kat.
Thanks, David. Yeah, so when I wrote up the intro to the show on our Facebook page, I asked a few questions. Is spirituality exclusive to humans? I think we've answered that. No, it's not. Spirituality is connection, and animals have it in droves, and they are unashamedly themselves. They don't try and be anyone but themselves, and humans can kind of forget who they are and start to go on a path of devolving, and they have to come back to a remembering of who they are, and that animals teach us to remember who we are. And another question that I asked was, do animals have a soul? And the reason I put that question there was because I actually met several psychologists who were adamant that animals did not have a soul. And I've met other people who walk along their religious lines who do not believe animals have a soul. And I think that really is an ignorant perspective in regards to animals and also to plants for that matter, because we know that we can have deep, true communication with them. And we also know that they have emotions and feelings, And so if they can have emotions and feelings and thoughts, then they are their own sovereign being, and therefore they must originate from a soul. And can they see and spirit and connect to higher vibrational frequencies than we can? I think that most definitely animals can see spirit. I know so many people, including myself, who've had a dog that looks at nothing or seems to look at nothing and bark. And what are they barking at? What are they looking at? Because I've been around a dog that's looked at something, but there's nothing there. It's wagging its tail saying hello. So there's definitely a ability to see higher vibrational beings, whether they're discarnated humans or whatever higher vibrational experience they're having. I think that animals have that deeper connection within themselves that allows them to have that. And that's something that we have to relearn, because we have had it and then we forgot about it, and then we have to relearn to have it again. So, you know, it's interesting that humans have come to say that they own animals. I also find that to be quite an interesting topic too, because I think that all animals own themselves. I don't believe that because you get to be a human, you get to own somebody else. We don't own each other, so how could we own an animal? We take responsibility and care for another, and you know, I keep aquarium fish, so I keep them, but I don't own them. They're their own fish, you know. They have their own personality and their own body and their own thoughts and their own feelings. I don't own those feelings and thoughts and that body. I have, under the law, ownership over them, but that is my protection over them. It is not my dealing of me saying, you are my object and I own you. And I think that a lot of people tend to look at animals like that, that they are objects that they own, and they sort of move and they're animated and isn't that shiny? And then you've got other people like the Mayan shamans who were discussed earlier who see the deeper truth to animals. So, yeah, it's quite an interesting topic, and I think one that we could really explore more another time. I'd really love to talk about it again, David, and go into the different perceptions that humans have in regards to animals and break that open and really unpack it and work out where we all stand with that.
Why don't we do that next week, have a part two? And let's discuss that so that I can frame it as the topic for next week. Are you open to that?
Yeah, let's continue the conversation, because I think that I'd really like to unpack it. We've discussed our experiences with animals and the reincarnation of animals that have come to us domestically. But it would be nice to really unpack the whole other aspect of animals, which is what has been touched on here with what they want, who they are, and what they can teach us.
Oh, great. I like that very much.
Mm.
Okay. I will talk with you about that later in the week on Facebook. So
sounds good.
We only have a little over a minute. We can go a little bit over, but would you be willing to do a very brief meditation today?
Yeah, let's do that.
Great.
So let's get comfortable, sit still, you know, maybe have a little wriggle in your chair, and then just settle down. And take three deep breaths. And focus your mind on your heartbeat. And that heartbeat has a rhythm. And dive into the rhythm like you dive into the ocean. And when you come up for air, you can see and feel the rhythm in all the bodies that are around you. And as you look around, you realize there's way more than just you here. There's little insects, there's birds, there's reptiles, with mammals. They're in the air, they're below the foot. They're everywhere. And it feels good to just be with the rhythm of the heartbeat. And as you go deeper into the heartbeat, you start to realize all of them merge into one heartbeat. And it's the greatest heartbeat of the planet. And as Mother Gaia beats her heart, the animals beat theirs, and you beat yours. And the incredible connection that you feel alivens and awakens you. And as you come out of the meditation, open your eyes and feel that deeper, truer connection. And humble yourself before the animals who cross your path today. So be it.
So be it. Thank you all for tuning in today. It's been a joy to have some new callers. And so thank you, Bhavana, Al, Bren, and I believe it was Jackie. I didn't quite catch the name, but thank you so much for joining in. Join us again next week at the same day and time, which is Monday, East Coast time, 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And in Brisbane, Australia, it would be, let's see, is it 6 in the morning there on Tuesday?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
Tuesday. Arise and shine, Brisbane. all right. Well, thank you all for joining us today. And until next week, wish you well. Kat, thank you as always.
Goodbye. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Goodbye.
Goodbye.